Hey everyone, welcome from the great state of the warmer state of North Carolina. I have to say it was a bit of a shock walking outside this morning. But it's good to see you all, and I'm really glad that you could come and join us at this session. My topic is going to be on the lessons we've learned in faith-based environmental health outreach in vulnerable communities. And by vulnerable communities, that's largely been low-income, low-income minority communities, and often for us in rural areas of North Carolina. I am the coordinator for community outreach and education at the UNC Center for Environmental Health and Susceptibility. And for the next couple of slides, I just want to talk a little bit about what the center is about and what we do at the center. First of all, I have no relationships to disclose. I guess you've been used to hearing that phrase this week. Looking at the Center for Environmental Health and Susceptibility's aims and objectives, the purpose of the center is to look at environmental and genetic susceptibility to environmentally related diseases. And I don't have them listed here, but here are a few of the issues that the center addresses: airway biology and disease, metal-induced disease, environmental cancers, specifically breast and skin cancers, neurodevelopmental disorders and birth defects, obesity and metabolic disease. So there are a number of different issues that the center addresses, and in turn, our aims at the Community Outreach and Education Corps are focused on translating that research at the center and making sure that that information, in whatever format is appropriate and works best to the general public. And it's largely been with workshops, but there have been other opportunities such as public service announcements. We're now pursuing a train the trainer objective with our work, aimed at making sure we enhance our capacity to educate families, educate the general public, to educate also health professionals. We're finding that to be a key audience for us as we address different environmental health issues. But our train the trainer approach is aimed at building our capacity to reach as many families and to reach as many health professionals as possible in knowing about environmental health risks and how to reduce those risks and reduce the exposure to those risks. I think we all know that historically the church has been involved in justice issues for many decades, for a very long time. But the interesting thing is, with the epidemic of obesity, diabetes, heart disease, with a number of issues that are affecting specifically the African American church, there is an enhanced interest among Black churches in health-related issues. And you'll notice I cite Marcy Campbell. She is a UNC researcher in the UNC Gillings School of Global Public Health, and she cites specifically how faith-based outreach is effective in addressing health intervention, in making sure that families address health issues in their and in churches. The projects that we have been pursuing stemmed from a few objectives, a few projects, a few grant-funded projects that we've pursued for nearly a decade now, aimed at looking at environmental health, environmentally related diseases, and how we can address those to a variety of audiences, whether it's K-12 audiences or youth audiences, whether it's health professionals, community groups, parents, what have you. And there are three specific projects I want to highlight here: Health Observances in Public Education, or HOPE. That partnership was a five-year partnership between eight universities aimed at looking at ways to enhance outreach for youth and community and teacher audiences around the issues of asthma, cancer, and lead poisoning. We now have a contract with the North Carolina Department of Environment and Natural Resources, and the person who manages that contract is with me here today, my partner in crime, Amy McDonald. And she manages that contract, that program, aimed largely at lead poisoning prevention, but it now is growing into an effort to address healthy homes issues in the state. And it is a five-year project that ends in 2011, so she will be at the first of the year applying for refund, to get refunded by the CDC. And then a new project for us that's really interesting is the BCERT program, Breast Cancer and Environment Research Program, that we were just awarded by NIEHS to address breast cancer types among African-American women under 50 and the certain environmental risk factors that make them more susceptible to certain breast cancer types, such as obesity, number of children born, and whether they breastfeed. And so that's a five-year project funded by NIEHS that we're really excited about. I want to now sort of get to what I would call the nitty-gritty to the presentation in terms of the actual work that we do with churches and with faith-based organizations and some of the lessons we've learned from the various projects we've pursued. Our outreach is aimed, I mentioned earlier, at low-income and minority populations largely, and also in rural communities. And as I mentioned earlier, we are taking this approach in terms of a train the trainer. We are a small staff, and to build as much capacity as possible, training parents, training church leaders, lay health advisors who work with youth and adults. That's a key piece to getting much of our work done. But it doesn't mean that we don't do hands-on actual work with the audiences for whom this information is most critical also. So we conduct workshops in faith and community-based groups, community centers, on breast cancer, childhood obesity workshops. Believe it or not, in the African-American community, although they're not the most susceptible group, of course, to skin cancer, they're largely working in rural North Carolina. They certainly care about sun exposure. And so even some of the issues you wouldn't think that African-Americans are typically interested in, a lot of the churches we work with want to get as much information they can, as much information as they can, about environmentally related diseases that we address. And believe it or not, sun safety is one of those also. But breast cancer, childhood obesity workshops, that is most definitely a critical issue for families. And to be honest, we've been able to really take an approach with a family type of entity when we do some of our church outreach, where we find that we often work with adults separately from the kids, and certainly in summer camps, and certainly with workshops like the breast cancer workshops. However, there are some workshops that have worked really well, like asthma and obesity. Those workshops actually work really well to have the parents and the kids together addressing those issues and thinking about those issues. Gospel radio programming is another effort we've made in order to address a large number of people at one time with various environmental health issues, and breast cancer was one in which we were invited by a local radio station to have one of our researchers, frankly, answer 30 minutes worth of questions to an audience of 20,000 listeners in mostly rural North Carolina, but they listen to this particular gospel station. And so we hope to enhance that bi-directional communication between our researchers and the general public, and we've been working hard to do that, but that was one example that just sort of popped in our laps in terms of the radio station calling and asking for that kind of one-on-one communication with our researchers. So we hope to expand that opportunity also. Since October of 2007, actually, I say fall, but it's been almost exactly 3 years, we've had over 680 participants in predominantly African-American churches, mostly workshops. We don't do a lot of the health fair type of opportunities, although there are numerous offers and requests for us to participate, but we have to know that the information we're relaying to people is really sinking in, getting home, and we want to know at least what their intent is in terms of reducing their risk to certain diseases and to know if they've actually followed through. So we pursue the workshops much harder than we do the health fair types of events. And so those 680 participants span over an 8-county area, in mostly in central North Carolina, with a couple of counties a little further west in the Piedmont region, for those of you who are familiar with North Carolina. We have evaluation results from more than 275 participants, and most of those are adults. And we've gotten some really positive feedback in terms of the increased knowledge about various aspects such as triggers, asthma triggers, and ways to reduce risks for exposure to those triggers or their kids' exposures to those triggers, intent to change behavior such as removing triggers, using cleaning practices around the home that would promote more of a green cleaning practice. And then the intent to share with family, friends, and with coworkers also. I do want to mention, I didn't mention this earlier, that our work started largely with it started largely with breast cancer workshops. That's how I sort of started to see if I could get a feel for African American women who would want to attend these workshops. And we've had a few men. But the key to African American women in the churches, or the key to the women in the churches, and this may be the case in other churches too, those are also the women who coordinate the health committee or the education committee or, you know, a number of other, the Christian education program or the education program at the state. They already coordinate a lot of the work at the churches that might directly affect families. And so it just sort of exploded from there in terms of that breast cancer workshop making women call us back to conduct asthma workshops with kids or to conduct nutrition and physical activity lessons with kids. So it really just sort of blossomed from the breast cancer workshops into a number of other aspects that we address. In our follow-up surveys, a majority of adults, and we've only requested follow-up from adults, increased daily exercise, increased consumptions of fruits and vegetables, and these are all what they learned about reducing risks for certain disease, using cleaning methods to prevent asthma triggers. And then an increase in requests for participation in other community-based programs. So like I said, the breast cancer workshop started, and then we got additional requests. And because we've developed these partnerships with these churches, we are going to be able to, and we have been able to, use these churches to host programs, to be able to help us recruit for future projects and future outreach initiatives. So that partnership, those partnerships have become really critical for us. Last slide, I promise. Thank you. Lessons that we've learned, and there are quite a few, but I want to go through each of them as quickly as I can. Maintaining effective relationships with faith-based leadership. A lot of people automatically think it's the pastor, but actually getting permission from the pastor is instrumental, but finding the person who can help you with the details for projects is just as important, to be honest. And so you work with the pastor to get permission to come in to do outreach, but you work with the health committee chair or the education chair or whoever that person might typically be to help you coordinate recruitment for participation, help you look at other churches in the community who have similar initiatives. And that's actually further down, looking for opportunities to bring together diverse churches that are proximate. You know, a lot of us are really happy when we get 10 or 15 people in a workshop. We get excited. Well, if you get one church on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, sometimes you might get lucky if you get 5 to 7 people. So in North Carolina, it's easy to find clusters of churches close to each other who would, one church would want to host an event, and you just invite the other 9 or 10 with the hope that you get 25 or 30 participants. And that's been really beneficial to us, not just targeting one church. Unless that one church has a program that already exists, that's not on one of the slides, but working with a project that already exists, if they have something that's set in stone that they know 20 people are going to participate, then take advantage of those opportunities that already exist also. Some churches are more sophisticated than others, so the larger churches might have a health chair or committee chair. A smaller church might not. They might just have one person who's in charge of all social gatherings or something like that. So you work with what you have, but keeping in mind that sometimes your larger churches are more sophisticated with that. Start small with faith-based projects and then build on that. We've made the mistake a couple of times of saying we would help sort of coordinate a summit, a health summit. And we learned that lesson. Both of my colleagues who went with me are in the room. We learned that lesson the hard way. Without really knowing that community well enough, we didn't have the participation to warrant the amount of work that went into putting that project together. So we should have offered just to provide a breast cancer workshop. Or we should have offered just to recruit kids to participate in our nutrition and physical activity sessions and then build from there. But we plunged a little too hard and learned the hard way. There can be challenges to evaluating the effectiveness, to looking at the follow-up. That can be really difficult. Number one, working with kids can be a challenge in knowing what they learned and getting follow-up from what they've used from the workshops or sessions. Media can be difficult also. There's no real way to gauge the success of reaching 20,000 people on a radio show. And then the last bullet I wanted that you see, making the most of your program's resources by utilizing Train the Trainer. We've sort of learned that lesson in terms of not having the greatest opportunities to do follow-up with 30 people who attended an asthma workshop, but actually working with the lay health advisor or the community or the health committee chair, whoever would be in a train the trainer capacity, who we could work with to train and actually do follow up with that person to find out what did families learn, what did they use from the materials that we provided and that we taught the actual lay health advisors. A couple of other points from this that aren't on the slide, be ready to improvise very, very quickly. In a matter of moments, be ready to improvise. We've learned that when we thought we were going to work with K through 5 students in a summer camp, we had ages 4 through 18. So that, 30 kids. And so, you know, be ready to improvise very quickly. We thought we could split them up. We couldn't. So you have to kind of make those adjustments as quickly as possible. It's fun in the end, but, you know, it's a little nerve-wracking for a couple of minutes when you're making those adjustments. And the last thing, I've presented on this issue before, and I really regret not saying this to someone who had asked a question at another conference about this, and I want to emphasize this now. Don't be afraid to work with churches. I think some people think it's church, it's taboo. It's not as difficult, I think, as people think, because at least with the audiences we've worked with, they really want to learn this information and improve the lives of their kids, first and foremost, and then the rest of the church wants to improve their lives too, or their health. But just don't be afraid that because it's a faith-related entity, that it's going to be, that you're going to be caught up in something that would make your work difficult. Because in the end, everybody has that one goal of improving health. I do want to acknowledge people who participated. On the right-hand side of the slide, I put everyone in alphabetical order, but I have to say, first and foremost, I called her my partner in crime. Amy McDonald has been really great to work with at the center. Kathleen Gray is our supervisor and program director, and she's also been really helpful as we develop various initiatives. But our UNC researchers, they're great. The ones that we work closely with have been good at reviewing materials, reviewing presentations that we make, having bi-directional communication with our community advisory committee. So we've had various researchers who've been really instrumental, and then some state partners who work with us on other projects or on related projects. But on the left is certainly the most important group of people that we've worked with on these initiatives, a host of churches. This doesn't even come close to the list of churches that have been instrumental in helping us recruit and host workshops. And then a few of our community advisory committees have also been really instrumental in giving us ideas about reaching. We've actually had CAC members who've done the recruitment, who volunteered their church to actually host breast cancer workshops. And so that was really, it's really great when you can find out which community advisory committee members you can count on, not just to advise at a semi-annual meeting, but to join you at the breast cancer workshop and help you recruit. So I just wanted to make that mention. And if anyone wants to contact me for future ideas, if you have your own ideas to share, I'd love to know them. But you know, feel free to contact me for additional information.
Someone's on a roll like that and sharing all those great experiences, I'm going to let them continue. So,
thank you.
So what we're going to do is, I actually noticed in the same time one of our speakers left. So we're going to let you take a question or two now and let the last speaker go get a question or two. If then there's any final discussion, we'll invite both back up. Any questions for Ms. Graves? Okay, go ahead. I have one question.
We didn't, and this has been more outreach than the research aspect. So we have not in our program.
In addition to kind of policy
initiatives? Our work thus far with the churches, we don't have evidence that it's led to policy changes. We do hope that at least within the church community or the general community that we're working in, that we can influence policy. I will say, you bring up a good point. We are now addressing, we worked sort of, not sporadically, but we worked a lot in these eight counties for the past 3 years. And now we've honed in on a couple of counties in Southeast North Carolina and in North Central North Carolina. And these two counties actually have low health rankings in the state, and that was one reason why we picked them. They also have low income. They have a higher minority rate than the 12% average in North Carolina. And so we are working now with these health departments, the cooperative extension programs. We're working with a number of different agencies in these counties that could certainly influence policy. So and I have to say, this has just started since this summer, working in these two target communities. So we're still in the process of developing relationships and actually showing people what we can do in these two counties. But we do hope that will be the result throughout this process.
Okay, and my quick question is, and I know you know my colleagues, Warren and Jen from Hope and COEC, is some of our faith-based initiatives, we've gotten the researchers, some of the physician researchers to come to the workshops. And I was wondering if you could just share an experience with your success, not just having them review materials, but actually coming and being there with you when you go.
Sure. And I have to say that's still a challenge, getting them to participate in some of that bi-directional communication. But Mary Lee Gammon is one researcher that we work with. She's done much of her work in New York, but is now at the School of Public Health in UNC. And she has been instrumental in providing that information on breast cancer as it applies to African American women and their risks. And she was the one who actually participated also. I have to say I was quite surprised that she was so willing to participate, and not because it's her, but because I didn't know when we did the radio show, I knew that we were going into this really small, almost shack of a place that was hosting this radio show. And I thought to myself, how is this researcher going to, you know, take this? Is she going to enjoy being a part of this? Because it was very bare bones, grassroots type of environment. And she, you know, took it like a champ and was great and answered the radio host questions and addressed various issues wonderfully and quite comfortably. And we've had a number of other opportunities, not so much in workshops, but we've had researchers who are willing. We actually have one researcher, Karen Yates, Dr. Karen Yates, who is an asthma expert and an asthma patient. And she's talked quite frankly in public service announcements and other opportunities about her experiences regarding asthma, finding out as an adult that she has asthma and how she's addressed that. But that is something we hope to enhance in terms of having researchers actually participate more one-on-one. Now, we do have community advisory committee meetings that entail people from all walks of life, and we've put into place a science highlight for each of our meetings where we ask a researcher from the center to come in and talk about their work, their research, and in return, they have to be okay with hearing from our CAC about what information they think would be most critical to the families they work with or serve, and how that information can be best relayed to those audiences. So that's been really beneficial to us. We most recently had one on autism, and that was really enlightening because it's a controversial issue, or can be a controversial issue, and but was also very interesting to address with our community members.
Thank you very much.